There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
They know it's coming.
Sounds like a horror movie.
This dark shadow emerged in the quarters, and we don't like it.
Make sure you go right back to that dark place.
I literally saw his eyes.
And that's what I'm scared of.
It's got tears running down our face.
My worst enemy.
They came after us.
I have the guy chasing me.
Recurring nightmares.
First thing you got to do is get to that fear.
Never think you're out of the fight.
You either run together or you run away.
No, they're coming.
In the Halloween spirit and Halloween not so festive for the Panthers, on NFL Live today, we have the latest on Cam Newton's nagging injury. And it was a thriller last night in the desert. We'll break down the Niners' eighth straight win as they narrowly held on to beat the Cardinals. And perhaps the marquee matchup of Week 9. Is it the scariest defense in the NFL? The Patriots travel to Baltimore. Can the top scoring defense slow down Lamar Jackson and company? And we will be joined by Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore in just a bit. We're going to grill him on the game plan. And sure, he'll give up a lot.
The whole playbook.
Positive, he will. But first, a hi to the guys. Field Yates, Damian Woody, Rob Ninkovich. I'm Susie Culver. And since it is the day after Halloween and before football last night, everybody was having some fun, we figured we would do a quick costume review. And you know what? You can never really go wrong with a pirate.
That's right.
I've pulled this one out a handful of years, but
that's
it's just
good. That's
that
good.
Was just wrong right there, Susie.
And I'm going to assume that because you cannot grow a mustache on your own, that you were really into the Gardner Minshew.
Well, you take a look, a little frame by frame here. You decide which is real, his mustache or mine. Yeah, believe it or not, I can't grow a mustache. That one was peeled right off after yesterday's
festivity. That was like you look like Teen Wolf with all the hair.
Hey, I got leg shamed yesterday on the internet.
Oh, no.
I didn't know that existed until yesterday.
You did the little tremor, right? Like the little infomercial with the
it's
little
a filter.
Trimmer.
Yeah, it's a filter. Yeah. Not that
and,
much of a.
And if you happen to catch NFL Live yesterday, there was a theme. Toy Story.
Oh, hey,
you were awesome as Buzz.
Today.
All systems go, but wait, I heard you drove home last night.
I did.
As Buzz.
Yeah,
how'd
I had to get
go?
Gas. I had like 40 miles to empty. I'm like, oh, I might as well just get out. It's Halloween. It's okay. No one. I had a couple looks, but the big man in a Buzz.
That's good. Yeah. The
so
biggest
that,
Buzz
of
the
Buzz. Steve who said that yesterday on the show. Big man in a Buzz. Where'd you get a costume that size?
Hey, they got people around here.
Amazon does some crazy things, right?
And Damian had to work late last night, so he wasn't able to trick or treat. But we thought it was kind of funny that in that seat yesterday was Victor Cruz, and he was Woody from Toy Story, and now Woody's in the seat again.
See how it all works? I love it when a plan comes together.
See, it'd be impressive if they found an outfit of Woody that would fit Woody. This Woody.
Now listen, that would be really impressive, okay? That would be really impressive.
We hope everybody enjoyed Halloween. And now, down to business. And that means an injury report. Our Josina Anderson, first to report this morning, the Panthers quarterback Cam Newton is headed to Green Bay to visit renowned foot specialist Dr. Robert Anderson. Newton wasn't outside working on the side during practice this week as he did a week ago. He hasn't played since aggravating his left foot Lisfranc injury in week 2. Panthers GM Marty Herney had this to say about Cam's situation today. Quote, I spent a long time speaking with Cam this week. And he's done everything he possibly can in his rehab process to get his foot to 100%. Unfortunately, we haven't reached that point. The next step is for him to go see Dr. Anderson and gather more information. And I know that Ron Rivera spoke at 12:45 Eastern time today. I wonder what more you know about this.
Some context on this. Visiting Dr. Robert Anderson all the way in Green Bay might immediately strike you as a major cause for concern. It's worth noting that up until recently, Dr. Anderson was located in Charlotte, not far from the Panthers facility. He has known Cam. He has observed Cam previously. So going to see him because he's one of the best with feet is important.
Sense.
But it's also good to know that there's a familiarity there. But that being said, Susie, after Kyle Allen struggled last weekend against the 49ers, a lot of people that were thinking to themselves, all right, Cam's about to get healthy by about week 9, right? Well, no, not so fast. Ron Rivera at one point recently referred to Cam as being in the middle of his recovery process, which, again, we're now 7 weeks into it. So if he was in the middle at that point, and now he's visiting Dr. Robert Anderson, it tells you, you can just sort of read between the lines here. It may be a while before we see Cam Newton, and not that any injury is not significant, but there are certain where it can be a pain tolerance issue. There are injuries that can't get worse if you go out and play. This feels like a situation where until Cam is 100%, there's significant risk involved with him being back on the field. Despite last week's bad performance from Kyle Allen and the entire team, I still feel like they feel that they can sort of buy themselves more time because of the way that Kyle Allen has played through the first 5 weeks of replacing Cam Newton.
And in my career, my 11-year career, that Liz Frank, when you hear Liz Frank, that's not a great thing to have to deal with because of the fact the timetable is so unknown. I know people that have had Liz Frank injuries where they had to have surgery, and that's a long recovery. So if you have a sprain of the Liz Frank, I'm not a doctor, but I do know that that is not good when you have that, to have that particular injury, because it's everything that he does as a quarterback, especially out of the pocket, running, cutting, having to plant, throwing the ball down the field, it's all with your feet and your footwork.
Well, I've had it, and I went to see Dr. Anderson because of that very injury.
Is that right?
It takes a long time to really recover from that. And, you know, Cam, because of the way he plays the game, you know, he's a mobile quarterback that likes to do a lot of things with his legs. Obviously, this is a huge hindrance, you know, for him. So it doesn't surprise me that it's taken this long for Cam to really try to recover from this injury.
Doesn't sound like surgery is on the table right now. In some ways reminds you of when Cam had the ankle injury a few off seasons ago, and he went like 4 months of the off season before having surgery. People said, what are you doing? You should have had surgery the minute the season was over. These guys can tell you better than I. The last thing you want to do as a player is have your body cut open. If you can avoid being operated on, that's something you want to do. It sounds like we are still not at the point of surgery for Cam Newton, but, you know, don't just expect him to roll back onto the practice field later on this week or next and all of a sudden be normal Cam. It may be a while before we see him again.
So in this case, it may just take patience. Of course, we wish Cam the best, the one-time MVP, now onto the reigning league MVP, quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Field, Mahomes has been limited in practice the last 2 days. What's his status as they get ready to face the Vikings?
And it still feels like questionable, that errs towards the side of doubtful more than questionable here, Susie. We'll have some more clarity by about 2 o'clock or so, is when we're expected to hear from Andy Reid on Patrick Mahomes' official status. I think because the injury looked so gruesome at the time, and because he was back on the practice field so speedily, that people kind of expect him to be back any minute now. It might be 1 more week or even 2 more weeks before we see Patrick Mahomes.
And especially after a loss, you'd think, yeah, they really wanted him back on
the field.
Okay, and now the kickoff to week 9. NFC West rivals slugging it out on Halloween night. Niners trying to keep their perfect season alive in Arizona. It's our Thursday night theater.
We'll see Nick Bosa go at Kyler Murray, the number one overall pick, and it should be fun.
Garoppolo stands.
Kittle made the catch, runs over a man, touchdown! San Francisco!
Epic tough guy stuff.
They're going to go for it.
Carry up the middle, he's hit at the one, and he stopped. The Cardinals hold off.
But wait, timeout.
The timeout is called.
They get fourth down over again. Garoppolo throws out, caught by Emmanuel Sanders. Boy, that timeout by Kingsbury.
Rolls to the right, fires far side, it is caught for a touchdown. Keyshawn Johnson. The Cardinals are back in the game. Fires deep, and it is caught by Isabel at the 30.
You're not going to catch the 4-3-1, baby.
Touchdown, Andy Isabella throws to the right, caught, Drake. The Cardinals get 2 points. They're within 3.
Here's your game, 39. This is where Garoppolo wins games. Throw on the run. He's got it.
And the Cards can't stop the clock.
49ers will win this game.
Holy cow, Jimmy Garoppolo.
They're going to be 8-0.
He makes some pretty gutsy throws out there, doesn't he?
Jimmy played a hell of a game, and it was best game yet, probably.
Yeah, I wanted to get a Kodak timeout. I wanted them to hopefully burn their best play. Just didn't work out for us this time.
No, I'm not really, you know, satisfied with it, like, coming up close, you know, short. But I felt like we should have won the game.
Thank goodness our offense executed. It's about doing your job repeatedly, like with robotic consistency.
How much better can you guys be?
I don't know. We're undefeated, so you tell me.
undefeated sounds pretty good. And Jimmy G, he stepped it up big time, especially on third down. He set career highs for completions, passing yards, and touchdowns on third down, going 12 of 14 for 159 yards and three touchdowns. He even threw for a touchdown on his lone fourth down attempt. It's the first four-touchdown game of Jimmy Garoppolo's career.
How about that?
Everybody's been talking about the defense, but, Rob, I mean, it was nice to see this offense really rolling last night.
Yeah, I was impressed with the accuracy of Jimmy Garoppolo. And that fourth down play after the timeout called, that was probably one of the best throws I've seen him make. So close. I mean, there was the pylon right there and then the defender right behind the receiver, and he just put it right on the money. So, you know, I think when you see him, the confidence coming back from an ACL, people forget it. He's only 12 months removed from an ACL repair, and I've had an ACL. I know it took me a couple years to actually have the confidence to do the things that I had done before my injury. So, you know, the first few weeks, granted, people were giving him a little bit of trouble, but I think now you're seeing that confidence, his ability to move in the pocket, throw strikes, be accurate. Everything that I have seen him do on the practice field when he was with the Patriots, now you see it on the game field, and he's doing it at a very high level.
In a league in which passing is more prevalent than ever, isn't it amazing how little we talked about Jimmy Garoppolo through seven games?
Yep.
Now, a lot of that's because the defense was incredible, right? And yet here we are last night, and Jimmy Garoppolo is the primary reason why they won this game. The chemistry with Emmanuel Sanders. He's been there for 10 days. You could have told me he'd been there for 10 years. He looks so in sync with Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought also was really great was standing tall in the pocket. It's a good example of the throw right there. I thought the touchdown pass that he had, maybe in the third quarter, stand tall, accept pressure, make a throw. And if you do, if you're willing to do that, you can have wide open touchdown throws. What a confidence building win that was for Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers.
And one of the intriguing matchups last night was the number one overall pick and the number two overall pick. And I think maybe up until last night, the number two overall pick, Bosa, maybe had the edge over Murray, but probably not last night. Kyler Murray looked good.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, coming to the season, everyone had a lot of doubts with this whole Kingsbury-Kyler Murray combo because it was so unorthodox coming into the National Football League. But you saw on a short week, Cliff Kingsbury had these guys ready, and Kyler Murray put on full display the things that we see the unique traits that he has that can be successful in the National Football League. So I think this Kyler Murray and this Arizona Cardinals team, they're only going to go up as they continue to acquire more talent for that team.
Yeah, so we have the undefeated Niners, the only division rival they have not faced so far, Seattle. Mm. They have 11 days to prepare, and that's on Monday Night Football, two Mondays from now. We will look forward to that. All right, before we hit break, we talked about Patrick Mahomes. You have some news on one of his receivers.
Actually, Colts wide receiver T.Y. Hilton news on. So T.Y. Hilton is going to miss probably 3 weeks with a calf injury that he sustained in practice on Wednesday. He was limited on Wednesday's practice, did not practice on Thursday, and Frank Reich just moments ago addressed reporters mentioning that T.Y. Hilton, somewhere in that three-ish week range. Now, this is a player that has gutted through injuries in the past. Incredibly tough. This is now a tough blow for the Colts passing offense, which means players like Zach Pascal, perhaps Paris Campbell, guys like that will step into a more prominent receiving role. Remember, Devin Funchess, potential short-term IR candidate, but not back right now. So the Colts shorthanded at wide receiver.
I clearly have had too much sugar.
It happens to us all.
Recapping our top story, Panthers GM Marty Herney had this to say about Cam Newton's situation today. I spent a long time speaking with Cam this week, and he's done everything he possibly can in his rehab process to get his foot to 100%. Unfortunately, we haven't reached that point. The next step is for him to go see Dr. Anderson, who is now located in Green Bay, and gather more information. And other news from around the league, and it sounds like a quarterback move in Washington.
That's right. We now have all three first-round rookie quarterbacks are starters, as Dwayne Haskins has been named starting quarterback for the Redskins against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, just announced by interim head coach Bill Callahan. They now join teams like the Jets that have used at least three starting quarterbacks this season. What an opportunity this is for Haskins, who a few weeks ago we were wondering if he might, you know, people were saying it might take a while before he's even ready. Well, here we are against one of the best defenses in football. Not easy. I mean, look, facial expression is worth 1,000 words. But yes, so I suppose what you're saying, Damian, without actually saying it, is that Dwayne Haskins fed to the wolves, right?
This smells of like upper management. usually in a situation like this, you would think that, okay, let's put a rookie quarterback in a soft landing spot. And I know the Washington Redskins aren't very good, but to have his first start on the road against Buffalo and that defense, one of the best defenses in the National Football League, when all this time you've been saying that he's not ready, he's not ready, he's not ready to start. Oh, by the way, let's start him against Buffalo.
Ouch.
Woody, I agree with you. I mean, the whole season they're saying, look, we're going to take our time. We're going to make sure it's at the right time. The right time is on the road against one of the best defenses in the NFL. It doesn't make sense.
There's a little game of sort of tug of war going, right? On the one hand, you want to get a guy reps because he is the potential centerpiece of your franchise going forward. But I think what you guys are saying and what many agree with is that a quarterback, whether it's a rookie, whether it's a second-year player, anybody who doesn't have a ton of experience can be not necessarily a byproduct, but directly impacted by his circumstances. I think there are people around the NFL that believe if Josh Rosen hadn't played with Arizona last year or Miami this year, we might be saying to ourselves, like, this guy's actually got enough promise to build something around. But it hasn't been the case. He's been stuck in two bad spots. That, I think, is the hope or the worry right now, I should say, with Dwayne Haskins, is that, yes, he could very well be their answer long term. But what is it going to do to the mental fortitude of Dwayne Haskins on Sunday if they go to Buffalo and get steamrolled? Right, and he has not yet started the game, but the games he's filled in, he threw a pick six to Jabril Peppers against the Giants. Like, these are the kind of moments.
Four interceptions, no touchdowns, and a limited number of snaps.
But he hasn't even started the game. Think about that, right? Like, in relief duty. So, obviously, Bill Callahan has to worry most about right now because there's no guarantee he's around as the long-term head coaching option in Washington. But this is a very interesting spot to get the first start for Dwayne Haskins.
Let's see how he does with starters reps. Sure. With a full week under his belt.
Yes.
All right, let's run through some other games, injuries, and picks from the guys and field. Let's start with Colts and Steelers.
Yeah, so no practice so far this week for James Conner. Left this game late on Monday night, Susie, against the Dolphins with a shoulder injury. Sounds unlikely he'll be able to go. The good news is that Jalen Samuels, his backup, played well last year filling in for Conner, is expected to play. Now, we mentioned this just a block ago about T.Y. Hilton for the Indianapolis Colts, injured his calf on Wednesday, missed practice on Thursday. We now know he's going to miss probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 weeks because of that calf injury. The Colts will now turn to players like Paris Campbell and Zach Pascal at that wide receiver spot without the ghost, T.Y. Hilton.
Without the ghost, Damian, what are you thinking? Who do you like in this game?
Thanks, Field. I appreciate you passing along those news before my pick. I'm still picking the Colts.
There we go.
I'm still picking the Colts, 28-24, because I'm a big believer in Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett is, has been fantastic this season. And I love how the Indianapolis Colts are constructed as a team. I think they'll win.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going with the Colts as well, 28-17. I think that that offensive line and the defensive front, that's the toughness of that team. I think they're playing really well up front. Watch out. Maybe this could be a Mac game, like a big, heavy running game. Load up the front, let the offensive line plow forward and really set up the quarterback to work in that play action pass.
It's not like the Colts haven't faced adversity before. They've managed to push through.
They thrive off of adversity.
Packers at Chargers.
Yeah, some good news here for the Chargers is that Devontae Adams looks likely to return on Sunday, Susie. He's missed now four games after suffering this turf toe injury late against the Eagles a handful of Thursday nights ago. And although his practice participation has been limited so far, we saw him leapfrogging a teammate during practice earlier on today. The kind of sign you see from a guy who expects to play on Sunday against the Chargers.
Damian, Packers, Chargers.
I was real conservative with this. I'm kind of kicking myself. I still got the Packers winning 28-20, but Aaron Rodgers is a bad, bad man right now. And he's in his stride right now. So I'm saying 28-20, but I'm thinking more along the lines of what this guy.
So I'm going Packers 42.
Whoa.
I think it's going to be a big game. Rodgers is just playing out of this world. I think that, the confidence of that team right now is going to take them a long way. It's going to take them to 42 points. So 42-21.
They're having fun playing football. You can see it.
Sure.
Vikings at Chiefs.
Adam Thielen, the big injury to monitor here, besides Patrick Mahomes, of course. But let's talk about Thielen for a second because he left this game 2 weeks ago at the end of the first half because of a hamstring injury. He made a beautiful touchdown catch on that same play. Missed last week, but it was a Thursday night game. He's been limited in practice all week. did his usual warm-up earlier today. It sounds like there's a chance for Sunday, which would obviously be massive because going to Arrowhead, still not easy to win there.
What do you think, Damian?
Oh, I got the Vikings, 31-28. We talk about Kirk Cousins and how he's been lighting up, but the MVP is Dalvin Cook.
How about
and
that?
Guess what rush defense he's facing? One of the worst in the league in the Kansas City Chiefs. Eat, young fella.
What about Matt Moore? I think he's playing really well.
Yeah, yes, he is. Really well.
So I think Kansas City's going to win by 3 points. So I'm going.
Okay.
I'm going with Kansas City by 3, 26-23. I just feel like Matt Moore's going to get it done at home.
Okay. Say it with the chest then.
1-3 so far for KC.
Matt Moore. So one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the league takes on one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. This season, Lamar Jackson has a QBR of 66, which ranks 8th in the league, while Brady's 59 ranks 10th. Just a short while ago, here's Brady on Jackson.
Yeah, I've seen him play a few times this year, too. And, just exceptionally talented, speed, quickness. He's throwing the ball well. Just has great awareness in the pocket, when to run. I think his productivity is really been unmatched. So he's got a very unique skill set. It's very difficult to simulate, a level of that type of player with that level of talent. And, our defense is going to be a big challenge for all of us. So I think what they do a good job offensively is they keep the other offense from possessing the football too. We'll probably only have 60, 65 plays or something like that. So you got to make them count.
Yeah, Stephon Gilmore didn't mention earlier who played Lamar Jackson on the scout team in practice.
What do you think? I'm just wondering, what do you think about Mohamed Sanu or Julian Edelman? I know they're starting wide receivers, but wouldn't that be smart?
I'm sure that they had taken a few reps.
Sanu throwing the football.
He's got a great arm.
Right.
So I'm sure he was back there
just
running
seems like
around
a logical spot.
So this game, it's a huge matchup. So it is our Sunday showcase. So we're going to break it down position by position. But remember, this is not about career. It's just for this game. So, Damian, where are you going quarterback?
This was a tough one because I love Lamar Jackson's game. I'm going to get a slight edge to Tom Brady because Lamar Jackson going against the best defense in the National Football League. Tom Brady, I think, will be able to dink and dunk his way against this Baltimore Ravens team. I think it's going to be really important for the Patriots offensively to play some keep away from this Baltimore Ravens offense because the way they run the ball, they're going to chew up time of possession. So I think it's going to be imperative for that offense to really hold on to the football.
Field, before we get to the pass catchers, you have injury update?
Injury updates, let's begin with the Patriots and Julian Edelman, who we'll talk about in just a second. He continues to be limited in practice, Susie, but has it stopped him of late? The guy keeps on passing, catching touchdowns. Meanwhile, Rex Burkhead, limited again on Thursday, but we saw him this past week in the Patriots win, so don't expect him to be out on Sunday. He should play, should be back, and a key part of not just the running game, but also on special teams. And then finally, Hollywood Brown, limited in practice Wednesday and Thursday because of an ankle injury. Didn't practice today, but John Harbaugh said he expects him to play on Sunday. Not quite a veteran's day off. He's been in the league for 10 weeks, 9 weeks. But you get the point. A management plan for the Baltimore
When you're that fast, you have to fill up the gas tank a little bit. What are you thinking, pass catchers here?
Pass catchers, I got to go with Julian Edelman and the Patriots. I mean, look, the chemistry of Tom and Julian, we know they've done that for a long time at a high level. So it's not their first rodeo. So I think another guy that is not really talked about is Dorsett. Philip Dorsett has done a great job this year. And then you add Sanu to the mix, who has just arrived there. He's going to have to, figure out how he fits in that offense. But I think as far as pass catchers go, the Patriots have the edge.
One note here, the Patriots have the opportunity to activate their first round pick, N'Keal Harry, to the 53-man roster. Could make his debut on Sunday.
Makes it even better.
And if we're playing keep away from the quarterbacks, then where are you going running back?
I'm going to give the edge to New England's running backs because I think where the difference is in the passing game. James White, just coming out of backfield, has just been one of the most reliable running backs in their system. And I think that's where you can find – you can take advantage of things against the Baltimore Ravens, particularly linebackers and such. So I like James White in that running back group.
Now you mentioned linebackers. I've been looking forward to this. Rob, tell us about the defense.
I'm going to have to go with the New England Patriot defense, look, they have faced a lot of different quarterbacks over the years, right? And so Bill knows how to prepare for a quarterback that can move in the pocket. I want to talk a little bit and show you a little bit of video. Look at here. I want you to see, you know, they have a spy here on Jackson, but watch. He's so fast, he can just get to the edge. And guess what? There's three defenders in front of him, one behind him trailing him. But he did a little sidestep circle on the PlayStation, spin out of it for the touchdown.
That was nasty.
And that
nasty.
Is just that nasty. Stuff that you can't coach. It's just pure athleticism. So when you see these plays here, this play right here is just a power play. They're just running power with the quarterback instead of handing it off to a running back. And when you have the bodies in there and you have a quarterback that can just stick his foot in the ground and just go vertical north south, you're going to have to prepare to stop the run. And I know the Patriots are going to be working all week at stopping the run. And look, when we've played guys that do run, like a Cam Newton or Russell Wilson, you have game plan rushes to where you're not running past the quarterback. You're condensing the pocket. You have vision on the quarterback with a whole player or a zone coverage defense, and you get to the quarterback. So I anticipate the Patriots have had maybe Julian Edelman or Sanu running around back there trying to get the defense all out of order. But they have prepared for this. They're going to be ready to stop the run, number one, and then let the secondary do their job.
And the defense is just so experienced and versatile.
Now, listen, it's going to be a huge test. This is going to be the biggest test for that Patriots defense, especially you look at what the Browns did last week running the ball. They had success against the Patriots defense. This is a different animal.
Yeah.
And I know they heard about it. Yeah. You know that they heard about that.
Oh, absolutely.
So coming into this game, it's extra.
Right.
Flip side, pretty big test for Lamar Jackson, too. You're going to see a lot of those.
In celebration of the NFL's 100th season, we look back at this date in NFL history. November 1st, 1959, Jim Brown rushed for a career-high 5 touchdowns in the Browns' 38-31 win over the Baltimore Colts. He finished the game with 178 yards and scoring his first touchdown that day on a 70-yard run in the second quarter. The 5 rushing touchdowns are tied for second most in a game in NFL history. Jim Brown would lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns in that 1959 season.
Now, new on NFL Live, an update on 49ers linebacker Kwon Alexander from Adam Schefter. With the MRI confirming that his pec is torn, Alexander's season is over. And field, an outstanding defense, loses a key cog.
That's right. Right in the middle of that defense, they signed him to a lucrative deal this past offseason. He has dealt with major injuries in his career before, unfortunately, including a torn ACL during his time with the Bucs. And we know the 49ers have outstanding top-level talent. This is a test of their depth now going forward for a team that can still rush the passer and has a tenacity about it. We'll see how they fill in because this is a major, major loss.
Yeah, it's tough anytime you lose a guy like that, especially inside linebacker position. I can remember playing with Jerod Mayo, and we lost him to an injury, and then Hightower had to come in and step up, and he really did a great job. But there's that question mark of who's the next guy that can do that. You don't know until the next guy comes in, and can they do it? We'll find out.
So they have 11 days to sort of regroup and reconfigure the defense. In the meantime, Richard Sherman tweeted, "Heartbroken for my brother." And now the latest on a disturbing situation. Redskins Pro Bowl tackle Trent Williams, who ended his holdout Tuesday, says he no longer trusts the organization and remains upset over how long he said it took them to take care of a cancerous growth on his scalp.
I mean, the lump continued to grow over the years, and I mean, it was concerning, but it was no pain involved. And you know, if I'm being told by the very people who, you know, I put my career in the hands of, they're telling me that I'm fine, then I'm fine. You know, that's how I looked at it. I just feel like things could have got handled a lot better. And, you know, it obviously got us to this point. No, it's not trusting.
Do you think the team's actions were vindictive towards you?
I think it turned that way. I don't think it was in the beginning, but I think, you know, it became a power struggle. It became, no, we're not going to fold for you as a player, because obviously that would make it seem to every other player that that's how they get business done. And I get that part of it, you know, but I do think it did turn that way over time.
Yeah, and the vindictive comment was really more about the trade deadline and not trading him.
Yes.
In a statement released Thursday night, the Redskins said, quote, "We have requested this review under the NFL's collective bargaining and agreement that provides for an independent third-party review of any NFL player's medical care. The Redskins continue to prioritize the health and well-being of our players and staff. Due to health care and privacy regulations, we are unable to comment further at this time." Wow, where does this go from here?
Well, as they said, they want to have a third party examine this. So basically, like, the record can be set straight, right? This is not a game of he said versus we said. We want somebody to get right down to the heart of it and the facts. So, and who knows how long that will take. These things can certainly be deliberate and drawn out. The question might be, you know, in the short term, does Trent Williams pass a physical? Does he ever step on a practice field? I feel the game field seems like a stretch right now. But the immediate question mark is, does he step on the practice field, even past the physical? And along those lines, I think this all ties to whether he's going to get an accredited season and move him closer towards free agency. Because what seems inevitable is a divorce. It's just a matter of when and how messy this divorce actually goes down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a scary situation, and anyone has to say the word cancer, it's very scary. So I'm sure that it was a shock to him to find out that something that he had a doctor, a professional look at and give him advice or tell him a certain thing, and it turned out to be something else, was probably very scary. But the unfortunate thing is the trust thing. Like, you have to have trust in the people that you put your health in your life. You trust them to give you the best possible advice, the medical people that you're listening to. And look, things happen. There's things not diagnosed and diagnosed all the time to normal people that don't even play sports. So I understand that. But in this particular situation, it seems like it maybe became a little bit more personal in between him and the team, which is unfortunate because it shouldn't have been that way.
I think the thing for me is we're not talking about an ACL. Or, other football-related injury. We're talking about life, life-threatening situation, illness here. And it just brings up, it magnifies this whole situation with the Washington Redskins. And in the court of public opinion, the Washington Redskins just haven't earned any, cachet with a lot of people because they've been an inept organization for so long. So everyone's going to look at this Trent Williams situation and what he said, and they're going to automatically look at the Washington Redskins and like, see? Here's another incident with the Washington Redskins and just being inept again. So, again, everyone's going to have their day to get this all mediated, and we're going to eventually come down, come with the truth is going to reveal itself, but man, it's just another bad blow for the Washington Redskins.
And to your point, it goes beyond football, that we just hope everything works out okay from a health standpoint for Trent Williams. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes still working his way back from a dislocated knee. No official designation on his status for this week's game against the Vikings. Short time ago, here's his head coach, Andy Reid.
Yeah, he did, he did some good things today. So it was, we'll just see. We're going to see how it all goes. I'm not going to rule anybody out right now. I'm going to go in and get with Rick and talk to him about all this, so.
Now onto the Jets. Running back Le'Veon Bell has, by all appearances, been a model teammate, conveying a positive attitude in the face of a disappointing season. And then there's this from Thursday's Uninterrupted and SiriusXM 17 Weeks podcast, that before the trade deadline, the Jets were receiving real interest on Bell from at least four teams.
I found out from my agent, he had talked to the Jets and things like that. It was teams like Houston, the Packers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and surprisingly the Steelers were all in the mix of trying to trade for me. From what I heard and I understand was the Jets were really asking for a high price and a lot for me. And on top of that, my actual contract was kind of tough for teams to deal with, which is understandable. Not too many teams really want to pay that high of a price for a running back.
He's really rolled with things this season, hasn't
he? I mean, just amazing to hear him say, not that many teams want to pay a high price for a running back. When he just sat out a year so he could get paid as a running back. But he certainly has a good grip on the situation.
How about the Steelers being one of the teams listed?
You just can't quit some people
sometimes,
right?
That's a head-scratcher.
You imagine
they got some,
going
they got
back
some,
there.
You know, Connor's been dealing with some injuries, so why not? They have a history with him. They know he's a great player, but that contract is a little bit of an issue.
I will say that with everything that's been going on with the Jets, he's been really a consummate pro.
He's been
saying all the right things, been, you know, it would be tough, you know, hearing all the noise right from the beginning that Adam Gase didn't really want to sign him and then hearing your name in trade rumors. But he's just been really good. He's been like a stabilizing voice within that locker
room. And a couple things here, because he wasn't happy with how he was used against the Jags. But he says that he texted with Adam Gase and they have a better game plan going in this week. So he's good with that. You can't really say the same thing, though, for Jamal Adams, who has not talked to the head coach, but he did have a meeting with the team owner, Christopher Johnson, who he says they at least have a comfortable relationship. So we'll see where that goes.
Okay.
It's a regular part of the lineup here on the Friday NFL Live. Damian's dumpster fire, defined as a laughably poor performance, usually caused by a lack of planning, preparation, or talent. And our resident dumpster fire expert, Damian Woody, spent 12 seasons as an offensive lineman and now splits his time as a Bristol firefighter. This is a little bit unusual, though. I don't think we've ever had a dumpster fire for a team above 500.
Yeah, this is, you know, usually we're talking about the usual suspects, you know, the Browns, the Jets. But this week, we got a peculiar team that you might not think would be in the dumpster fire. Roll the tape, please.
And I think it's a big part of why we felt so confident coming into training camp with the guys that we had, you know, because we know what we have with Kyle.
Playing very well, they're playing with a lot of confidence.
Hand off up the middle, McCaffrey running free, unbelievable. 45-50 across midfield, McCaffrey takes it home!
I think the best way to describe it is it's just fun to win, man. And we do it every single week, and it's been fun to win, and we're going to keep winning.
Christian McCaffrey's a huge part of their success. He's been playing lights out.
An undefeated football team that's playing very well. They're playing with a lot of confidence. So it will most certainly be a good test for us to see exactly where we are as a football team. He's just going through his rehab, and that's where we are. I mean, right now, Kyle's our starter, and you know, that's what we're going to go with.
But he's intercepted by Nick Bosa. He's running back the whole way.
To do this to this team, when we thought coming into the game, the Panthers are maybe the best team the 49ers have faced all year, and they lay 6 touchdowns on this team.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and criticize. We'll take the blame, okay? We got beat by a better football team today. And on me as the head coach to make sure we do things the right way. I'm not going to look back, and I'm not going to put blame on anybody but myself. It's that simple.
You know, this really hurt me. It hurts me because, you know, it's one thing to really dump on bad teams, but to have to throw a good team in the dumpster fire, it really hurt my heart. It hurt my soul to do it. But when we watched the Carolina Panthers against the 49ers, boy, we had to throw these guys in the fire. You look right here. I mean, the front of the San Francisco 49ers having the field day. Look at my man, Eric Armstead, rubbing his belly. Get in my belly. Then we had Richard Sherman just going AWOL, doing his thing with the pick of Kyle Allen. Oh, and then my man Nick Bosa, the defensive rookie of the year, just having a field day with the interception of Kyle Allen. I mean, it was just a snowball effect. And I'm just sitting here, man, I'm sitting here thinking, wow, man, we got the Carolina Panthers in the dumpster fire. At no point ever did I think we would have the Carolina Panthers in my dumpster fire. It really shook me so bad, I really had to sit down. Because it hit me so hard. I hate to have teams like this in a dumpster fire. But you know what? Sometimes it happens to teams. It happens. You get a one-off by the Carolina Panthers, and you get invited into the dumpster fire. But you know what? I'm not going to really classify them as a dumpster fire. It was really like a trash can. You know, somebody threw a match in the trash can with a whole bunch of paper in it. Because I believe the Carolina Panthers will bounce back. They won't be there in the inferno. You see my man Cam Newton right there. Okay, we got the news that Cam Newton is seeing his foot specialist. Okay, to get a better idea of what's going on. Might take a while for Cam Newton to bounce back. All right? But I got a lot of confidence in Ron Rivera, Kyle Allen, and my man Christian McCaffrey. That's a bad man. Okay, so listen, Carolina Panthers, okay? I don't want you back in the dumpster fire. Save that for the bad teams. What I need you guys to do, okay, heavy dose of Christian McCaffrey. Kyle Allen, you'll bounce back. You guys are too good to be in my dumpster fire. I don't want to see you there anymore this year. All right? Is that a deal? Because I need you guys battling for the NFC to represent in the Super Bowl. So I'm giving you a one-off this time. Okay? But let's not come back in the dumpster fire. You got it? Susie, what do you think? What do you think? Is that a good deal, Susie?
That's a good deal.
I don't think the Carolina Panthers deserve to be in my dumpster fire again this year.
No more dumpster fire for the Panthers.
Right.
Now, the NFL is no stranger to famous last names. Johnson, Brady, Manning. What about Allen? There's George, Marcus, Larry. They're all in the Hall of Fame. And between Marcus and Larry, they have 17 Pro Bowl selections and two Super Bowl titles. And now, there are three starting quarterbacks this week with the last name Allen. According to Elias, this is the first time since week 14 of the 2000 season in which there are three starting quarterbacks with the same last name, Allen. Let's pick the Allen game, starting with Josh Allen. Redskins at Bills. Rob, where are you going here?
I'm going Bills, 23-13. I think we all know that Josh Allen is a great quarterback, and they're going against a team that's going to play a rookie quarterback. So I think that Buffalo and their defense comes out on top.
I got the Buffalo Bills, 27-17. And before the announcement was made, I said the Bills front would feast on the quarterback. Oh, they're going to have a party in the with the Washington Redskins quarterback.
So that rookie gets his very first NFL start.
That is right. With Case Keenum still not clear from the concussion protocol, Susie, it is Dwayne Haskins, the 15th overall pick in this year's draft, who will make his first career start. We have seen Haskins on occasion so far this season. 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Let's see him get on the scoreboard with a touchdown on Sunday, but it will be very difficult in Western New York. You know they are fired up tonight.
On to the Kyle Allen game. Titans at Panthers, Rob.
I'm going with Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans. Since he's been starting, he's threw for 5 touchdowns, 649 yards. I think he's the quarterback that they wanted.
I'm going with the Panthers, 27-17. When you had a disaster they had against the 49ers, guess what you need to do? Just give a heavy dose of Christian McCaffrey.
Yep, no more dumpster fires there.
Yeah, no more.
The Brandon Allen game. Browns at Broncos, Rob.
I'm going with Baker and the Browns. I think that they're going to bounce back. I think they're going to bounce back and honestly in a big way. So, you know, when you look at the Broncos and where they're at right now, they don't even have a quarterback. So I got to go with the Browns, 21-14.
Browns, 27-17. Broncos are bad. They're bad. Now their starting quarterback is out for the year. The Browns have got to get right. This is a good way to start.
14 teams using multiple starting quarterbacks so far this season.
Oh, my gosh.
14. And 3 of them will have used 3
by the end
of this week.
I'm just thinking for the Browns, there's really no place left to go, but what a mess.
Man, I hope so.
Final stop on a Friday, challenge flags. Rob, you're up first.
I'm going to challenge 30 other NFL teams to maybe take a chance on Josh Gordon. Unfortunate, he had an injury, and now he's not with the Patriots, but I'd like to see that fairy tale ending.
News comes right around 4 o'clock Eastern time today on Josh. My turn?
I believe so.
Cleveland Browns, I don't want to keep challenging. You're a weekly fixture for us. It's time. No excuses. 2-5. Backup quarterback making his NFL debut. Take care of business and do so convincingly.
How about Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens? Impose your will on the Patriots defense. Listen, Bill Belichick and that defense, they're going to scheme you up. But at the end of the day, it's man on man. Bully ball.
This is for our running back buddies. Talked about a lot of them in the show already. Guys like Christian McCaffrey, Davin Cook, Aaron Jones. Keep pouring it on. Make that MVP conversation a little more interesting. What about running back
MVP? Is everybody keeping track of Susie's arm? She's like Gary Cole here, dealing with the camera every Friday afternoon.